Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
July 26, 2018.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is
620-878-4682.
And an emergency, my cell phone number is
316-619-4886.
Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this in our ministry hub, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com.
Now, remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. As you know, we are a church. We do not sell anything. We are only on the air because of your kind donations. On another note, let's thank our listener places. Places like
Perth. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you said it right.
Kiev, Ukraine. San Juan, 1500 Philippines. Dublin, Ireland. Athens, Greece.
Athens. We always fall down when maybe I'll just not tell the folks
it's
about
Greece. It's kind of like aboard and abroad.
Okay, well, yeah, every time you read the Bible, it's aboard, not abroad. Okay, anyway, moving right along. Of course, cities in the United States such as Washington, D.C., Long Beach, California, and where else?
Houston, Texas, Henderson, North Virginia.
North Virginia? Nevada.
Okay, Nevada, North Virginia. Okay, Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm not feeling real well today, so you'll have to just overlook my...
But you did that last week.
Okay, well, last week was not today.
And well as Wichita, Kansas, reminds the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. And we're probably doing a real good impression on a brand new guest tonight, but this is the first time you've been in on a guest, so... Follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours, Father. Please give everyone out their ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So lift the veil from their eyes and their ears, Father. So please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, say hello to the folks, Linda.
Hello, people.
Hello, people. As you can tell, I have my wife on with us, and we do also have a guest for us. Well, you know, one great thing about summer going away is what comes after summer?
Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, all the fall feasts, which starts off with the Feast of Trumpets and then the Day of Atonement. But then after that, there's a thing called what? What did you call it a minute ago?
Sukkot.
Sukkot, it's also called the season of our joy. That's because all the labor's work is over with, and it also represents Yeshua's thousand-year reign on the earth. So many have questioned me over the years as to where I go and what we do, and I've tried to answer them over the years to try to find them different feasts. But we've run into some roadblocks that some of them, haven't we?
Finances.
Well, besides finances, there's been other reasons that we was going to go to that one year, but they came in with a dress code and said that I couldn't even wear a T-shirt. They told me to go to a secondhand store and buy white long sleeve shirts to wear. Basically, they wanted you to dress up every day.
Right.
And so that's a little ridiculous. But anyway, so we've tried to point people to Feast, but I've never really pushed any one of them. But I found this site, and it's a Hebrew roots one, and I think that tonight we are going to promote it tonight, and I think it's a good deal. But I guess we'll see after we talk to our guests. So we have on us Tom Martinick. I'll ask him how to pronounce that in a minute. He's the executive director of Bread of Life, Giving and Sharing, a ministry that feeds the hungry in their local community. You know what? I didn't even know when I found the website, and I didn't even know it. Had no idea who was going to get back with me over. I said, well, I'd like to interview somebody about this feast site. Well, I had no idea that this brother, and I assume his wife, will find out in a minute, they feed people at their ministry. Anyway, he's also the creator of the website. It's called Eliyah.com, and, of course, that will be out with the podcast. We'll spell it out in a little while. So, anyway, let's just get him on, and we'll talk to him about who he is. So, Tom, are you there with us tonight?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. So, praise the Father. First, let me congratulate you. Today's your 28th.
Happy anniversary.
By the way, that's my wife. anyway.
I love your wife, by the way.
Okay, tell
Thank
him
you.
Why. Don't just leave him hanging.
I don't know either one of you. I am just new to you, too, but my husband told me last night that she was wanting to reschedule the program because today's your 28th year anniversary, and your wife said, no, I want you to do it.
That sounds like my wife. Okay, now let me give him an orderly thing here. Okay, so, brother, who's Tom? Tell us a little about yourself and what you do with your coffee shop. I guess it'd be a good place to start, wherever you want to. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, the coffee shop is, I'm the executive director for Bread of Life, Giving and Sharing. And it was about a year ago, actually, another brother and I, James Webb, we're on the telephone, and we were thinking, you know, there's not really any kind of soup kitchen or anything in our community, and we're in the third poorest county in the state. And so I got to looking around for, you know, places to try to run a soup kitchen. And I couldn't really find anything suitable. I had a kitchen already, you know, there for us, except for there was a coffee shop that was for sale. And so I went back and talked to them. I said, hey, well, there's only thing I can find with a kitchen in it is a coffee shop. And he says, really? I said, yeah. He says, because last night my wife had this vision or this idea that we'd have a coffee shop that could be used, the proceeds could be used to feed the poor, you know, to support the soup kitchen. That would be our funding. So I went back and contacted the seller. And they were Christian folks, and just got to talking to them, and they gave us a really nice discount on the building, and so we decided to try to do a GoFundMe. So, because we didn't want to go into debt, you know, we didn't want to start being in debt, and so we did a GoFundMe, and within 44 days, we had raised $110,000.
Wow! Let me ask you a question. So, you know, usually people, and this will get into the Eliyah website or whatever, most people that can raise that kind of money, then you must have had a lot of friends on Facebook or something, so, and which I'm guessing came from, you know, you've been doing an internet ministry, even though you say you're not an apostle or pastor or those things, but you have been doing an internet ministry since, what, 1995, I think you said?
Yeah, 95, I started a website. The most people pronounce it Eliyah.com. It's like Elijah, only with a Y instead of a J. Hebraically, it's pronounced Eliyah.com. But we're a non-denominational ministry aiming to serve the body of Messiah through providing teachings, Bible study tools, ministries to the poor. We have a weekly video broadcast on the Sabbath at noon Eastern time. And we open with prayer, have story time for children, have people calling in, sharing music, and then I do a teaching followed by a session where we answer questions, comments related to the Bible study I shared or any biblical topic. And then people call in with comments, questions, or use a web form, and then we take prayer requests and close out. And so I've been doing this weekly Sabbath gathering since 1997, although it wasn't video back then. It was just text chat.
Right, right.
And then we went to audio in 06, and then 2010 we went ahead and did the video. But and so that and just the website overall is fairly well-traveled, and so we did get some exposure to our fundraising efforts, and that did help us a lot. And then we were able to start the coffee shop here about 4 months ago, and I've been very blessed. Anybody can come in and get a meal if they can't afford meals at home, and we'll feed them. They'll sit down, eat. You know, we'll take their order, bus their tables, treat them like any other customer.
Yeah.
In light of James 2, which says don't treat the poor man any different than the rich man. So we try to treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
And our aim is children and elderly. Those are the ones that most can't help it or food-wise. And so here in our county, 27% food insecurity rate. And so we're trying to address that problem. And then some of the elderly have to choose between health care and eating. So we're here to serve them, too. And we've had some unbelievers actually come to faith.
Really?
Through exposure to what we're doing here. And so it's exciting. But this is just a new thing we're doing. It's an offline ministry. I've mainly been online the last, you know, since 95, 23 years. And we do host the Feast of Tabernacles, of course, which you plan to talk about.
Okay.
That's a big deal every year.
Let me come in here a minute. First off, you know, that's a real blessing. I feel really blessed by hearing about your ministry right now. I mean, you know, we have a little mission church in Wichita, Kansas, where we feed the homeless and poor, anybody that walks in. And we serve them also. You know, we don't make them come through a line or nothing except for on Thanksgiving so they can get pick out all the food that they want, you know what I mean? But we serve them. We believe in, you know, coming to the table and giving them a plate and, you know, serving them. But I'm really getting attached to your ministry. You're also geared towards support. What I really like I'm hearing, and folks, you need to hear this because I've got a lot of you folks out there that over and over you told me, you said, well, I have no place to fellowship, you know, Pastor Dan. You know, I have now been listening to you on radio and I understand that I need to be Hebrew roots or Messianic and start keeping the Sabbath, but there's no place around me to do it. So I encourage these people, wouldn't this be a good thing for your online ministry? Wouldn't this be great for them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Actually, on our website, we have something called a fellowship finder, and there are thousands of people on there. If you're in your community and you don't have anybody to fellowship with who's like-minded into Hebrew roots and things like that, we have this fellowship finder, and you can list yourself on there. You can also find other people in your area. It's listed at the very top of the webpage, and a lot of people have found fellowship through that.
Yeah, amen. Well, that's really good. You know, I haven't had a chance to watch any of your videos. I really intend to. I started to last night. I couldn't get one to work for whatever reason, but it looks like a real blessing. You know, now I call myself Messianic, but you know, when I first came to really discovering that there were any people that kept the same faith as mine, that's what I was led. I found was, you know, Messianic Jewish people. Hebrew roots back in 19. Well, we've been keeping the Sabbath for, well, 28 years.
He'll be 29 just next month.
So that's how long we've been keeping Sabbath. And the feast, we didn't come right to the feast for a few years after that. But, you know, we went around to the churches after we came out of the world and we couldn't find anything that lined up with the word. And so what led you to Hebrew roots?
And actually, my grandmother came into Hebrew roots in the early 70s.
Wow.
And I'm 48 years old, so I was born in 1970. And I grew up having familiarity with these things. And then when I was 19, I gave my life to Yahshua and immediately started studying about the feast days and the Sabbath. And we also use a sacred name. and just started studying these things out, and then compared it to what I saw in traditional Christianity. I tried to weigh both sides out. I went to the library at the college I was going to and tried to do all kind of research. And for me, having not been churched, you know, it was pretty simple. But, you know, sometimes it's harder to unlearn than it is to learn.
I got to jump in there for a second. You know, that is the biggest deal. That's why when I opened my Bible and read it, to me, all these things seem easy and simple to understand, actually. And that was because I was never churched. I use the same word that you use. I was never churched. But, you know, I'm really fascinated by the fact that you were led into, you know, Surly, and you had that kind of exposure, because most people, you have to unchurch them in order to get them to understand.
Let me jump in there.
Go ahead.
That's in my case. I was raised Baptist. We went to Sunday church and did all the Sunday stuff and all that. It was really hard for me to, you know, you battled with me with scriptures for years. Even to give up the pagan holidays, which Christmas was my very hardest one. My parents wouldn't lie to me. You can't tell me that. I had to have the Holy Spirit and the Word and you pushing me to reread it, pray for understanding before I would ever even agree that my parents were wrong and all that teaching that I have were wrong. And so then we started doing Torah every year, and that's how I came to the truth, is through the Holy Spirit using you and the Word of God to pull me out of the learned church, because I was church. So it was really hard for me.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I don't know how you feel, but I'm guessing you're probably going to feel the same way. But my wife is an extreme blessing to me. She's my other half. And the biggest thing about what she said is that I had to convince her. So I don't know about you, brother. If I come up with something that's, you know, I said, okay, well, this is a new learning or whatever, the first person I have to convince is this person sitting to the right of me, and she is really hard to convince.
And it has to be with scripture, mind you.
Yeah, it can't just be, oh, I said it. So I don't know. How's your
That's
wife?
Good.
You know, she's a blessing too. Tell us something about your wife or your family.
Well, we've been married, again, 28 years. You know, my wife, when we actually came to this together, we met in 1989.
Yeah,
yeah. And so we both, you know, first I found it and I showed it to her, and she's like, she accepted it right away. You know, she was not churched either. She was raised Catholic, but there wasn't any biblical teaching in Catholic Catholic school.
No.
Here's what the Bible actually says, and that's authoritative. So it was pretty easy for her too. And you know, we've learned a lot together. We've made a lot of mistakes together.
Amen to that one.
Yeah. And while we're always learning, we're always students. I mean, if I'm going to teach the Word, if I ever stop being a student, then I'm disqualified from ever teaching anything. So we're still students, and we're all learning and growing and just trying to serve our Father Yahweh and be all He called us to be, the best of our understanding.
Yeah, amen. And yeah, Yahweh is our Father. That's the name that we prefer to use, you know, is Yahweh. But it's simple. That's what's in the Word. If you look up the Word, you know, anyway, we won't go through all that. We'll take up all your time. But I'm really feeling a kinship with you, in the sense that all of these things that you're saying are the same things that I could also say about my wife and I. And that's why I made sure she was on with us today, because, you know, what we're doing right now is we're not, I won't call it judging, but we're trying to decide tonight, after we get done with our conversation with you, brother, whether if we like what we hear, and so far it's great, we're going to be coming to your feast.
Great.
So how long have you been doing this? So Easter Tabernacles, the season of our joy. How long have you been hosting this thing?
Well, I mean, I kept my first feast in 1990, but my first effort to make it public, we used to do it in our backyard, invite some friends, was back in 07. And we started our first year. I think we had like 120 people there. And it was a nice gathering, private, out in the woods. You know, it was kind of roughing it a little bit at a campground. And but you know, here over the years it's continued to grow to where we now have 15 men on our thief council. We're in a 270-acre campground southwest of St. Louis, about 75 miles. And we have, you know, our main focus is family togetherness, fellowship, being at peace with one another. We emphasize that very highly. Sometimes people, you know, you get bad experiences with contention and things, and we put a lot of emphasis on showing proper respect for each other, no matter where we are spiritually in our walk. But our purpose is to get together and build up the body of Messiah, build up families. We emphasize family involvement quite a bit. We actually organize our group into tribes, and we've got the camp and the amphitheater conference room right in the center. And then right next to that, in a desire to really remember and better understand that wilderness experience that they were going through and how that kind of mimics our own walk with Messiah in our wilderness, where we're learning Torah as they were learning Torah, we actually rebuild a replica, it's life-size replica of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And so on one of the first days of the feast, not on the Sabbath part, but the one after, we actually start building this thing, and it's something you can walk in. The only difference as far as dimensions between what we build and what was built in the ancient Israel is we're about 9 feet shorter, I think it is.
Well, I'm going to have to break in right there, because, you know, we're going to go to a break in less than a minute. So please give your website, either whatever's the easiest for the feast or just Aliyah.com. I'm sure that maybe they can find it, but I will send links out also. But please tell them how to get a hold of you, whatever you want to give them.
Yeah, it's Eliyah.com, E-L-I as in ice, Y as in Yahweh, A-H.com. It's like Elijah, only with a Y instead of a J. And you'll see the link right there on the front page to Feast of Tabernacles.
All right, folks. Well, listen, go over there and check out his page, and remember that wherever this will go out in podcast later on tonight, there will be these links there. And also, if you go to theprophecyhour.com, you go to the pastor's page, there will be also the links there. And, hey, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin and Sister Linda, my wife, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, before we get back to our great guest tonight, and we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles and some other things, we're going to give a little plug for our mission church. So, how long have we been taking care of the people in Wichita? What year are we in?
We started 19 years, June.
So that we start our 19th year in June. And so, you know, I always tell the folks that, you know, we help the homeless and poor. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but who are the poor that we're talking about?
Anybody that comes in the door, really. There's no way to know if they're poor or if they're rich or what. Just anybody that comes in the door looking for help, we help them. But normally the poor that are around we know are our neighbors in that area that just can't afford to buy food.
Right. So we're in one of the poorest and worst parts of Wichita, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's going on right on the street? Give us an example.
Prostitution. dope deals, everything right on the corner, right out front, right our front door, right outside the church.
Yeah, amen. And then, but still, you know, the police even brag, even how I talk to, in fact, our son's next-door neighbor, Daniel, who we just recently met, is a marshal, and he made the comment that he'd only been in there one time, and he's been serving in Wichita for 18 years himself. And he said he'd never even heard of a call to come down there because, you know, we always keep it great, you know.
Who is that, the guy that lives behind us?
No, lives next.
Oh, Daniel.
Daniel. Okay,
oh,
anyway,
okay.
Moving right along. So, so right now, you know, we're in a summer slump, you know. I mean, when we have lots of people coming in, they're looking for everything. But, folks, when it gets summertime, it's like the water spigot has been turned down to a drip. And so we really do need your help to stay open. What are some of the things that we need, Mother?
Just about everything. I did, however, go and get, we was out of almost everything at church, plates, spoons, forks, napkins, eggs, everything. But I was able to get enough for Friday and Tuesday. However, we're out of meat, vegetables, pastas, rice, tea, coffee, you name it.
Well, these are the normal things that they can bring in all the time. Because
right.
As an example, how many egg sandwiches could we give egg sandwiches from 1 to 3. So during that period of time, what's the highest number of eggs that we could go through?
17 dozen,
and the low is usually what?
Around 7.
About, so 7 to 17 dozen.
And that depends on the timing of the month. The first of the month, people get paid, get food stamps. It's not as bad, although we still go through 7 to 10 dozen sometimes. It just depends on what people are doing with their, you know.
Right.
And then the third week of the month is always everything's really
right. Run
out. It's hard. Sometimes I have to make 2 or 3 different things to serve as I run out of food. So, like, last week I had to make 3 different things. We kept running out of food and people kept coming. We never turn anybody away. Even if it's a peanut butter sandwich, they get something to eat. Or a can of soup. If they don't have the way to heat it, we'll heat it for them. If they do, then we just...
Okay. 4:30 meal. What kind of meal do you get? Do we give them?
A normal meal with everything on it, like chicken noodles, mashed potatoes, green beans, 2 donuts, coffee, tea, normal.
Yeah.
Tuesday... We just had a simple meal, which was 2 hot dogs, 2 donuts, and a handful of potato chips, and they were quite happy with that.
You are actually that junk food city, but you know, it feeds them, it puts something in their belly, and we don't turn folks away. We also have a clothes closet; people can walk in and get whatever they want out of it, no control over it. And we do first aid; we give out Bibles and, you know, miracle prayers, and there's so many different things that we do that I can't just tell you. So we really get no help from any organized churches or any, you know, we're the weirdos down the street that help the homeless and poor. And then, oh, yeah, they also don't keep Sunday. So, you know, we're just kind of pointed out. And there are some Messianic or Hebrew Roots fellowships, a few of them in Wichita, but they basically don't know about us, even though we've tried. So anyway, so pray about it. It's only folks like you that listen to us on radio that now we're in our 19th year that keep us going. No donations, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. If you don't wish to consider a donation with the poor, again, we're a radio ministry also, and so we're only on the air by your kind donations. So pray about supporting radio. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Did you have something else?
We also do a mail-out newsletter. We used to do one every month, but the cost is just so extremely high with everything else we have to afford. So, but we have been doing one every 3 months. So if you want on that list, just send in some stamps or send in a request with your address and support that, too. It costs around $1.50 a copy to mail one out. And that's including the postage. So if you want to get on that mail-out newsletter, which we just mailed one out, I still have 70 to go out, and I'm waiting on postage to mail those out. So if you just can send stamps, that will help immensely, too. Anything will help.
Okay. Amen. And so, folks, all right. Anyway, now I really want to get back to this. We're talking with Tom. And, Tom, I pray you're still there with us, and I'd like for you to pronounce your last name because I don't think I got it right.
That'd be Martensic.
Martensic. Oh, okay. All right. Amen. So, Tom, you tell us the name of the ministry that you have in case some people just joined us.
What ministry is Eliah.com, E-L-I-Y-A-H, like Elijah, only with a Y instead of a J. And Eliah Ministries, based out of Ava, Missouri. And it's been online since 95, and we proclaim the Hebrew roots. Have been since 95, proclaiming Hebrew roots and the feast, the Sabbath, and keeping Torah. And we host the Feast of Tabernacles every year in Steelville, Missouri, which is southwest of St. Louis, about 75 miles.
Amen. Okay, now some questions. First thing, again, now you also, I know you did it before in the first part of the program, but you also do something online for the people. Really tell us about that, and then we'll get into the feast again.
You talking about the soup kitchen?
Oh, no. Well, folks, he does do also has a soup kitchen where he lives at, but he, for a lot of you folks that that have asked me over the years, we had no place to fellowship. You can go online. Tell them about that.
Yeah, we do have actually an online video Sabbath meeting, and people can tune in at noon Eastern time and listen to. We open with prayer. We do story time with children. We take phone calls where people can call in and do Skype calls, call in and share music. I do a weekly teaching there. And then we followed up with questions and comments. People can ask any question on any biblical topic. And if I know, I share. If I don't, I research. and then we close out with prayer. It's kind of a, you know, a way to, if you don't have any fellowship in your area, it's just a place to be encouraged. And we also have a DVD. We'll send you a free DVD of the broadcasts if you just sign up and subscribe. If you can't get online, we also have a way to listen through the telephone as well. And so you can listen through a conference call, telephone. You don't have to have a strong connection. You can listen to the audio only if you want. So there's lots of ways to connect. And then we have a fellowship finder that's linked at the very top of the website. We have thousands and thousands of people on there where you can look up in your area to see if there might be somebody of like mind in your location. You can also list yourself, and others who might be in your area can contact you. And there have been hundreds and hundreds of people who found fellowship through that over the years.
That's really a great thing. And I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to make sure we get to all of this other stuff. So now we're talking about the folks who host the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I know a lot of you folks have never been to a feast, and, you know, so are they going to, if they're first-timers, are they going to feel out of place? Are they going to feel like a stranger? Are they going to be welcome? What's the story, brother?
We have quite a number of first-timers going. I mean, last year, I think it was like one out of four people that came. We had about 500 people that came. About one out of four were first-time feastgoers. And so if you're new, we actually provide a lot of support. You come in, and we even have a crew to help you set your tent up, make sure your air mattress is set up if you have a tent, and make sure you have everything you need to get settled in. And a lot of experienced brethren will be there through the week to help you through it. We welcome everybody as family because we are family. And one thing I put a lot of emphasis on is Torah observant people ought to be the most loving people on the planet, because we know better from the scriptures how to walk in love, because that's really what the Torah is supposed to be all about. So our emphasis is on showing love to one another and serving each other. And it's really amazing to watch the body of Messiah work. Like last year, whenever somebody had a need, there was just someone that had that gift would just step in and help. We even had one guy who collapsed. You know, he was just overheated, I guess, or something. He was an elderly gentleman. We had two EMTs there, you know, ready to serve him, and he was fine. He got up, and he even shared a song afterwards. So,
well,
it's amazing to see the body of Messiah function together as it's supposed to. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, that's the way that it should be, not judgmental. And, You mentioned something about, in part of our conversation, about people being at different places in their walk. And, you know, that in itself is a hard thing because, you know, especially if you've been teaching this, like me, I'll be teaching the same group for a while and then somebody new comes in and they don't know anything. They don't know what you're talking about. So sometimes that can be a hard thing. But I, from your writings and everything, it looks like you're really open to new people. Back to you.
Well, that's really, you know, one of my key areas I have been led to serve in is people who are new to Hebrew Roots. They can get some information off the site and find biblically, you know, I've got a five-part video on the book of Galatians. I've got a 12-part video on the book of Romans. I got videos on Hebrews. A lot of these New Testament scriptures that their Christian friends are throwing at them, you know, we go into these and we dig in and we help people understand them from a Hebrew Roots perspective, and really what I see is a biblical perspective. And so that's really where I cater to. And so when people come to the feast, it's just an extension of what, you know, we already do. We put a lot of emphasis on discipleship and serving people, and because that's really, to us, serving is loving and loving is serving. So
yeah.
Our intention is to serve in whatever capacity that someone may have a need.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the things that your, you know, activities that are going on. I mean, there's some cool things like shofar making class. That's cool. Me and my son and I have both made our own shofars. And, you know, tassel making party, that's for Chipsies. We'll talk about that in a second. But my wife wants to ask you a question.
Do you wave the leaves, the love leaves, and the ostrich, or do the families have to bring their own, or how do you do that?
What was the question again? I didn't hear your
first part. Do you come together and wave the love leaves and the ostrich leaves, you know, for the...
The different species. Do you wave the different species?
Okay. No, that's not something we practice. I know that's in Judaism. Some believe there's some biblical support.
It's actually in the Torah.
For the four species, as I understand it, because there are other species mentioned later in Ezra. It seems to be the intention is, you know, find something out there in the woods to put together for a shelter because tents are expensive to produce in those days. So this way anybody could create a sukkah. Anyone could create something out of the woods, you know.
That is, of course, we started off, we built a sukkah in our yard before we ever leave if we go someplace.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a real funny story real quickly. You know, so you talk about going out and gathering things because the sukkah folk, let me just say, it's basically like a wood frame and you put different leaves and branches and everything on top. So my wife, we built the frame for it, and my wife and my daughter and her friend.
No, it was adopted daughter.
Adopted daughter went out to pick up leaves. Well, they came back with a bunch of stuff, and we were putting them on. And then here a little bit, a few minutes later, here the police show up, and this is in a little town that we live in. And so the policeman comes walking up, and somebody said, "Hey, Dad, you know." The police are here, and I went, well, what does it, nobody ever did anyway. So I walk up and say, well, could I help you? And he says, yeah, we had a report of that car right there, and pointed to the car that they were using, was out in the countryside picking marijuana. And I said, I busted up laughing, in about two minutes' time, I had to explain to this cop, this police officer, what we were doing, and that was kind of hard. But then I took him back there in the backyard and pointed to it, and he just shook his head, you know,
and started laughing. But I was referring to the wave offering, not the decoration of the sukkah.
Yeah, I know that. And so they don't. That's a Messianic practice. We're not going to go through that anyway. So tell us about some of the activities that you have there.
Yeah, we actually we march around the camp to begin with in tribes. And some people, if they want to wave the lulav, they're welcome to do that. There's nothing wrong. We don't have any problem with that. We're very accommodating to people with different understandings. But we anoint the corners. And then throughout the week, we have different activities where we have a biblically clean diner where people can eat. on the non-Sabbath days. We do a baptism service if someone wants to be baptized in the name of Yahshua. We do that. We have men's meetings where men get together, learn how to be better husbands and fathers. This year we're emphasizing biblical masculinity and biblical femininity and getting back to the ancient paths in those areas. So we have a ladies' meeting also. We have daily Hebrew lessons where I'll teach you how to read Hebrew, and by the end of the class, you'll know how to read it. If you, as long as you apply the flashcards, you'll learn how to read it. And if you learn how to read it, and or if you attend every class, we'll give you a free book on Hebrew grammar. We have youth and children activities. That's very important to us. We have a singles class, for one for adults, one for young people, and they're still in their father's house. We have shofar making, as we talked about. We have raw shofar horns, kudu horns, that we have brought in, and you sand it down, drill the mouthpiece, and then you take it home. It's yours, no charge.
Awesome.
And you can get bigger ones if you want. We have, but we just use not real big, but not real small shofars. And then our tassel making party, learn how to make the tzitzit, we teach you how to do that. We provide the tassel making material. And then we do other things like float trip down the river. That's a lot of fun. Kayaks, canoes, rafts, and then horseback riding is offered for everyone, children, teens. But we do, every evening we do musical praise around the campfire. The atmosphere is one of praise, one of shouting hallelujah. I mean, worship under the stars at night, share testimonies. A lot of people have described it as the spiritual highlight of the year and a life-changing experience. And the wonderful thing is you get to connect with the body of Messiah. I mean, so many people who are alone, they don't have fellowship in their area. Once they come to the feast, you're spending 10 days. It's like living in a small village with a bunch of believers. And you get to connect and meet people, and those relationships continue for the rest of their life, you know. And the neat thing is you're in there for a long time. Like I was there like 7 or 8 days. I leave the camp. I go to the store. Like I just entered a twilight zone. What is this? You know, this is the world again. You know, I want to go back to that little slice of heaven we've got there, the campground.
Yeah.
You also offer Davidic dance.
Yeah.
During the praise and worship, correct?
Yeah, that's something that we like to do, and we're actually looking for teachers in that area this year. So if you know how to do that, we're open to that too.
I definitely know how to do that, but both of my knees are up for full knee replacement, so I'm not doing that at this point in my life, but I praise the Lord will get me back to that soon.
Yeah, amen, amen. Here's a question. You know, there was well, the big thing that I'm really hearing out of you is that you guys, you know, you're not judgmental, and that's the problem I ran into at a feast before. You know, the people were being judgmental because, you know, they you just didn't act loving. You know what I'm saying? And then the one where I asked him. I said, well, I read their dress code, and I said, let me get this straight. I don't even own a long sleeve shirt. Do I even have one?
No,
I don't even own a long shirt. I just wear a t-shirt. That's what I wear. He actually told me I had to go to I needed to go to a secondhand store and buy it.
Actually, they said go to the Goodwill.
Yeah, okay. Same thing. Goodwill's the same thing. Anyway, but the point is too judgmental. I believe that everybody should be dressed properly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just seen on here you guys have an auction for charity, so people bring things that you auction to go for the money to go back into the ministry. Is that what that's for?
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Definitely.
Is that how you're funded, is through donations and fundraisers?
Well, you know, for some reason our Heavenly Father just always provided. I've never really had to ask. But you know, it just happens. But that is one way
too,
where people can donate. Now I want to say we do have a dress code, but we provide the shirts. So we provide the shirts. If you don't have a shirt that is long enough, then we provide the shirt. We don't do long sleeve shirts. We don't have to do that. But
you,
something
you
to cover
really,
the back.
meaning, yeah, let's be clear about that. You know, you don't want a woman coming in and showing their belly and so on and so forth, looking tacky.
And,
well, of course, modesty.
The whole thing the whole thing about pants, you know, how tight's too tight and all this stuff. So we provide, if you can bring your own long shirts that you know, erase that problem. So, it's, you know,
men and women, or just the women? What are we talking about?
Yeah, men and women. Yeah.
Right, not to show their skin.
Right.
Here's what we're talking about here. We're not talking, you know, I understand what you're saying, and naturally you don't want them showing too much. They need to be dressed properly. Modesty is that what we're talking about?
Like they're going to visit the Lord, because that's where they're going, is to visit the Lord.
Right. Amen. Right. Amen. You know.
Yeah,
but
it's a delicate thing. You know, we don't judge people if they dress different than us or anything like that. But we just feel as though during that 7 to 10 day when we're all together, you know, a lot of men are having struggles in these areas, and women too. It'd be nice to kind of have a break from that for a while, and just, you know, have to worry about the modesty thing. And but that's not the big emphasis. You know, our emphasis in loving each other, and part of building up each other is, you know, not having to worry about the modesty problem, because that way everyone's, you know, in the same spot, and we don't have to worry about it.
Well, amen. You should be dressed modestly, period. I don't believe in that style of dress, period, you know. But I'm also a person, like I say, I wear T-shirts. That's all I own, and that's all I wear. And, you know.
That's all I wear. I mean,
you know, that's it. Okay, now we've got about 2 minutes left. Can they find out all this? Tell us about the site and everything. You got about 3 minutes left to sum up anything you think the people need to know, because I really am trying to get people to that are looking for a peace place to come. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really all about atmosphere and all about seeing the body of Messiah functioning together and getting connected to the body of Messiah. And this campground we're at was dedicated to the Word 60 years ago. We have it almost to ourselves. They really opened it up. The folks that own it are Christians, and they're very, very welcoming people. And one thing we do that's unique is, like I was saying earlier, we build the tabernacle in the wilderness. We actually build a life-sized structure. And in a place where we normally would have the altar, we actually set the some concrete the same size as the altar in ancient times, and that's where we gather around at night for offering up spiritual sacrifices of praise to our Heavenly Father and sharing testimonies. And it's just really special to do that. And so, and then I offer a tabernacle tour, and I actually take you through and explain all the different pieces of furniture and how they relate to us and our walk with Messiah, and how these different things symbolize different things that we actually practice, and it has a real application to it in our own personal walk. And it has a courtyard. We have it around it. We have a snow fence, basically, so you can see inside as a measurement for a courtyard. And we actually all build it together. We get all the kids and teens and families out there building and just having a good old time building this thing up. And
I'm going to have to interrupt. We've got very less than a minute before I need to say goodbye to you. So please give me a website and where people can find out about it. And maybe we'll talk again if you want.
It is Eliyah, Elijah, only with a Y instead of a J, .com. And you can also type in praiseyahweh.com. And that'll take you to the same spot.
Okay. Well, brother, we hope, we'll pray about seeing you there, and I'm encouraging others to do it, and I'm going to advertise this on the website and everything. So you be blessed. Thanks for being on, and again, maybe you'll come back sometime. Goodbye, and shalom to you. Say goodbye.
Shalom, Tom. Tell your wife I said hi, and God bless.
All right. Blessings to you all.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Okay, folks. We must pray about it. You can go to their website and check them out. And as all things, you need to check it out for yourself. We just met him ourselves. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repenting sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what, Mother?
Be a blessing to others.
Always be a blessing to others. Why is you?
I was going to say heart, because blessings come from the heart, but always be a blessing to others.
Yeah, amen. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace, like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
And Sister Linda, shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.